Hey, welcome back to the Secrets of Downline Marketing Radio Podcast. I'm Nick Tullis, and here is a new episode. This time I'm in my car today. So, but I actually wanted to do this one in the car because I am a little all over the place today. And why am I saying that? I have no idea. Anyway, I want to share a strategy with you that I'm going to be implementing in terms of my email marketing when people sign up for stuff. And it's a strategy I've been thinking about for a long time, and I did mention it back in the past, and it's something that you actually see in regular marketing every day for the most part. But this one specifically I saw when I was growing up, and I call it the comic book strategy. What does that mean? So back when I was in high school, I used to go to a local comic book shop called Coliseum of Comics. And it was an awesome comic book shop. It still exists today. They've actually gotten a lot bigger and stuff. But the way comic books have kind of gone and everything when it comes to like going to digital, less than print. But for the most part, they the comic book shop was awesome. I liked it. It was like in this like former like hole in the wall kind of like store, and it broke up into three different parts. They had the front part that had the comic books, the collectibles, all the like retail stuff. The next section of the store was basically like where the card games were kind of happening and everything, or like strategy games. And then on the back were like the tabletop miniatures. And for the most part, like it would even like, you know, trickle down for like, you know, big card events, card game events and stuff like that. I loved it. I miss it. We'd go like, me and my friends would go every like Friday and Saturday and Sunday. Well, Friday and Saturday for the most part. And like just go get trading cards, get comic books, and like just have fun and like nerd out and stuff. But the big thing was is that the way comic books were released was that you would get a preview issue sometimes, or you would get a catalog that would have like a preview of like upcoming like comic book events and like issues and like limited series or like you know, big storylines and stuff. And what was real interesting was the fact that like this big catalog was basically just pure marketing. Of course, it was literally just like a Cabela's catalog just for nerds. And is awesome because like you get an idea of like, you know, what to look out for. You can even like pre-order and all this stuff and everything, which was really cool. So it's like a coming attractions. But when it came down to it, comic books would get released 8 or so issues depending on the series before you would get like a complete story. So each volume is considered like a season. In terms of like, so if it was like a TV series, like a season's like, you know, 10 to 20 episodes a season, some shows, that's usually the range. For comic books, it was kind of similar. It was like between like 8 to 16 sometimes, you know, give or take, before the volume was over, and then the new volume would start. At the end of each volume, there would be a trade paperback which collected all the issues minus the ads and whatnot, which is really what I waited for. I waited for like the whole thing to come out and then like, you know, without the ads and stuff, because I'm like, I get it, they need to make money and stuff, and like they sell a comic book for like $3 or $4, they got to pay for ads somehow and everything. They got to pay for like, you know, printing and stuff like that, because it's believe it or not, like, you get enough comic books stacked up on each other, they weigh quite a bit, those little thin ones. But what was really cool was the fact that, like, you could literally stop and then turn and look at all these other volumes that had come out already. And at the same time, you would have, like, the old comic books, like, the original comic books, they were called the Omnibus, which was basically a collection of, like, all the original titles and stuff like that. All the original issues, like, just recreated into, like, a newsprint format, thick volume. Which is really cool, because then you could just catch up to the history and stuff like that. Because, like, a lot of these issues were hard to find and, like, nearly, like, impossible to buy. So, we get these, we come in, like, every week, and a few of us, we would subscribe to, like, certain, like, comic book series and stuff like that, let them go their run, but, like, each week, they're, like, a new batch of comic books would come out, until the series is done, and then, like, we get the trade paperbacks, and we just, like, start collecting those, and then I went a step further, like, I would get, like, trade paperbacks for some of them, and then I would actually get, like, the hardbound, anthology book versions for some of them if I really enjoyed the series a lot, just because it just came with more, like, extra goodies. So, but they usually were, like, $80 to, like, $110 for those, like, thick compendium kind of versions and stuff, and it was awesome. But, man, they take up space, and they were heavy. So, after a while, like, I just started, like, waiting, like, you know, I would wait for, the volumes to end, and then I would just, like, you know, just read the trade paperbacks and stuff like that. If I liked it, I'd buy it. A lot of times I would just buy it for the art, more times I'd buy it for the story, and it was pretty much from that there on. So, but I loved it. It was awesome. Like, I value anyone who collects comic books now and everything like that, because, like, you're going to make a pretty penny. I had this bad habit of, like, collecting things for a bit and then just, like, turning around and getting rid of it. I was like, I'll never use this or whatnot. Like, this is useless. I've done that for Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, comic books, video games. And I have learned to live that lesson the hard way. So, there are things I'm going to be collecting as I slowly increase my income and stuff. Just because I like to, I like certain things. And I do want to use them and stuff. But it's a besides the point. So, why am I explaining all this? Well, if you caught how the comic book companies were actually marketing, it was, they would release a new batch, basically a new episode, each week until the volume was done, the season was over. Then they would compile all the issues into one collection without any ads and stuff. Then, after a few volumes had come out, they would actually take a bunch of those volumes and combine them together to make this big, hard anthology, a new volume. And a lot of times it was more oversized, like, kind of almost close to the original style of the original artwork was, produced, drawn, and created. So, but it would get more pricey. So why am I bringing this strategy up? Well, think about it. A comic book, on average, was anywhere between $3.99 and $4.99, depending on what you got. Sometimes I've seen some that were like $10.99, like $9.99. Like, it was crazy, but you got a lot out of it. Then you get a trade paperback. Okay, so you've already purchased 8 or 9 version issues, which are like $4 or $5 a piece. So you've spent $80+ collecting the original, like, you know, the original issues. Then you're going to spend another, like, $15 getting the trade paperback without the ads. And you sometimes get some commentary and stuff. You get some extra artwork. You get enough volumes of those. $15, $16 tend to, like, stack up really fast. Then, like, the big hardbounds come out. They have, like, the ultimate, like, you know, behind-the-scenes look and stuff. Case in point, some of my favorite ones are, these are, like, called Absolute Editions. So, like, Absolute Invincible, Volume 1 and 2. Those are some hefty books, but, man, they were worth it. Absolute Kingdom Come, a great book, great artwork, beautiful behind-the-scenes look. Absolute Batman, The Long Halloween, that's a great story. I love the artwork at the time. It's a little different, but, like, it's a really good story. Like, look up those books. Like, they're like anywhere between like $80 to $110 for this thing. But, like, think about how much value of the behind the scenes material is. Like, especially for an inspiring artist, an inspiring comic book artist, an inspiring comic book writer, an inspiring writer, an inspiring graphic designer, pick your choice. You know, anything inspiring. Even psychology of comic books is a very, very under, underrated area. Most people don't realize that. Like, there's psychology, there's philosophy, there's, like, thematic of it. Like, you could literally take a comic book, or, like, volume and, like, pick it apart really well. So, but look what I just said. So, okay, let's say each comic book issue, the original versions, were $5 a piece. So you're paying $4.99 for 8. So that's $40 right there before tax. Okay, then you get the trade paperback, which is like $15, $16. So we'll go with 15 to make it easy. There's 4 volumes. That's $60 on top of your current 40. So you're already at $100. Then, not counting the other issues that are going to come out between then. So if, like, you get 4 volumes and they're both 8 issues each, and you've already bought the original issues, like, think about that. So 40, it's like, yeah, 40 times 4, that's $160. And then you're at 40 on top of that, so you're about $200. Then you add, like, the big absolute, like, hardbacked editions after a while. Usually they take, like, a year to come out. So now you're up to, like, $280 to $310 over the span of, like, a year. Like, so you've literally gotten, like, an absolute volume over the span of a year in terms of the paperbacks, which will, like, increase in value over time, the trade paperbacks, which will increase in value over time, and the absolute edition, which will definitely increase in value over time. So, especially, here's where it gets really interesting. When these artists passed away, unfortunately, their artwork becomes more valuable. When... Like, it's more so the artists than, like, the writers and more so. But the writers also, like, their work becomes more valuable. And, like, even ink, the people who do the inking tend to, like, you know, their artwork tends to increase in value over time after they pass away, unfortunately. Like, that's the nature of the beast. Because it means, like, this person can no longer create. So, therefore, everything they've ever made is now in scarcity. And whatnot. So original pieces of artwork go for quite a bit of money over time. Like, case in point, you can actually buy the original drawings for, like, some of Jack Kirby, Stan Lee, the original panels, like the 11x17 panels that still have the original, like, pencil marks, inking and writing and stuff. It's crazy. Like, if you can get, like, a key scene in a book, oh my god, you're probably looking at 6 figures, if not more. But, besides the point. The thing is the fact that if you look at this strategy, like, of these comic book companies, like, look how much they may be making money, like, a lot slower, they're dripping it out, but think about the long-term gain. I read a book back in when I was in high school. It was called How to Write DC Comics. And it was actually from DC writers and stuff, and, like, how they structure their stories. And it never really dawned on me until after I read that, like, in terms of, like, how they actually, like, were able to always come up with ideas. Because I never knew anything back then. I was like, I just thought, like, okay, now we're just going to do this week and this that week. And this. It was just kind of like a run of the mill. But they have their stories mapped out. They have their universes connected. They have everything built. And everything's, like, pre-planned and whatnot. So they have, a kind of a campaign calendar. And certain issues that are tied together to a core... Like, they'll come up with a core story. Then they'll look at their current running titles. Then they'll figure out how... each person plays an important role, or each, like, series plays a role. So if you've ever noticed, for those of you who, like, followed, and I'll try to relate to it in a different example, one of the biggest Marvel comic book stories lines that really shaped that reshaped the landscape at the time when I was in high school, so dating myself, was Civil War 1, not 2. Not that hot garbage. No, Civil War 1, when it was literally Cap versus Iron Man. which became the basis of Captain America Civil War, which even then I was, you know, I liked the movie, whatever, but I kind of liked the result of the comic book. But that's besides the point. I'm getting on a tangent. Anyway, that was the biggest event. That was the biggest crossover event. That was like the hardcore story that was going on. So many different comic book series were attached. So each series comes with its own specific cover design. So that way you know it's in this run. There were stuff that were like for Civil War, and I use this as an example. There was everybody was involved, like both sides. You were just reading, including stuff that hadn't even been seen in a while. Which there was actually a group called Damage Control, which was basically the civilian contractors that came in and cleaned up after like these superhero battles and stuff. It was like the fallout and everything. So you got to see more of the civilian side. Wasn't necessarily a strong series, but it was still pretty good. There was Wolverine, there was Fantastic Four, there was X-Men, Avengers, Iron Man, Spider-Man, not Doctor Strange, Captain America, I'm forgetting a few, I know I am, but like, well, all these like different comic series, like that's all that was going on at the time. Marvel has like other series going on as well, but like their hardcore Marvel Universe was like literally being dominated by this one story, and it was changing the landscape. It was changing everything. That's what these comic book events do. Now, I know I've gone on for like almost like 17 minutes on this. How is this relating to network marketing? This is a marketing campaign. This is a marketing of content. This is a systematic way of driving content and the market. So what do I mean by that? Well, if you understand if you look at, like I said, what DC Comics had written down, and Marvel kind of does the same thing, and I'm sure there's some tweaks here and there, but they basically calendar out a campaign, like a series run of a card, like of a storyline, something that hasn't been done. They go to their vault and they look at all the stuff that, like, you know, what could possibly use the, you know, today and stuff, like how can it be related. Like, they could probably use some current events, but they could pull some stuff out of the vault in terms of like some throwbacks and everything, and like connect to major storylines, which is, if they do it correct, if they do it well, it's great. But anyway, but they map it out. They think in terms of weeks, because they bump out a core issue each week until the volume is done, the storyline is done, all the character arcs are done. Because generally, like, the main storyline will probably be over before anybody else gets done, but the story is happening all at the same time, just from different viewpoints. I'm trying to think. Case in point, the beginning of Spider-Man Homecoming is a perfect example. Picks up right after the Avengers 1 movie, at the Battle of New York, and it finishes up. It's like literally the next day, and like construction crews and like contractors are civilian contractors are coming in and trying to, you know, pick up the pieces and like help rebuild their city and stuff. And then, you know, the government comes in and like kicks everybody out and says, "Nah, man, we got it from here. You're done." And it's basically Tony Stark issued a damage control by the U.S. government that basically, to do the cleanup for all these events and stuff. Because when these battles go on, like, people die, stuff gets blown up, like, you forget that for the most part. Anyway, this is an example of bringing that comic book series limited run into an exist, like, you know, out into the forefront, so people understand who it was. Like a brief cameo mention and all that stuff, but I knew that because I understood from this comic book series. Now, why does that matter? Because that actually played an integral part in terms of, like, really trying to talk about, you know, what happens to all, like, what's it like being, like, just a normal person around, like, all these superheroes and stuff, just battling out, like, what's the aftermath look like? Sure enough, there was a follow-up to this Civil War called Aftermath. it was a limited series. It was just kind of like, you know, kind of resolving certain like storyline ties and stuff. And from there, the universe had changed. The direction for the characters had changed. Everything had reverted back to from this core focal point. So for a network marketer, you can kind of like, you can actually develop your own campaign strategy in this way where you're developing content with key themes, key like keyword searches and stuff like that, and stories that are happening all at the same time, but they'll come out at different points. What do I mean by that? So let's say you decide to do a, which actually I'm going to be modeling this. I'm actually going to be mapping out a similar strategy with this. I'm going to be using a core storyline that I'm going to be mapping out, but I'm going to expand upon certain elements of this story in video segments. So I'm going to be starting a YouTube channel here soon, and I'm going to be focusing on a core story, just one core story, just the solid focus of, like, you know, why I started this channel. But what's going to happen is, as this story is, like, you know, opening up and stuff, it's going to probably go for a few episodes, I'm going to be able to extrapolate certain other elements that are going to be going on that happened at the same time this story was happening. But these event, like, you know, this content is going to be coming out at different moments, different times. Even though it's going to be the same story, it's just going to be looking, be taken a look at from different perspectives and different viewpoints. So different lessons are going to come out and stuff. And it's all going to become, it's going to be releasing at different points. But when you go back and, because I'm going to put them all into playlists and everything so you understand. So each playlist is going to be its own volume. And then eventually I'm going to have a mega list that's going to have like an absolute version, which is going to be like a hardcore, like, dude, if you want to like knock this stuff out, here's a marathon run of, like, here's some extra goodies and stuff. What do I mean by that? Well, you can actually have videos on YouTube unlisted that you can actually sell as an offer. So look at content as the little comic book issues, those, like, little, you know, intro to, like, you know, what's going on, the following beat, like, it's the new TV and stuff, and every week a new episode comes out, or new or the story continues. After like a month or two, then you pump out the playlist, and you got it all stacked here. So, like, hey, if you like this type of content that I'm doing and everything, I've put together a special playlist for all my viewers. Click the button right, like, click the suggested video right here, and get caught up with, like, more material just like this right here. So, and then eventually, I can do an absolute edition, which will, I can actually sell as a bundle in terms of, like, I have specific videos on YouTube that are unlisted that have never seen the light of day. These videos, like, you would have to look for a special, like, keyword in one of my videos or whatnot to get, like, a discount code or something. I don't know. But what I'll do is, like, in a bundle offer that's, like, $300-$400 of value, when you buy my product or you go through my course or anything like that, like, I'll actually give you access to those videos. I'll give you the direct links that no one else, like, you know, nobody else has because they're unlisted. No one's ever seen them in the light of day. So you can compound value and material that way. So you can literally use your content as a marketing tool to build interest, have people build interest, build value, have people follow you, like, get to know you, and then you can, like, do, like, a season, like, treat it like that. This is going to be very similar to, like, a TV series strategy that I'm kind of putting together that I'm going to definitely let you guys, like, I'm going to talk about here, like, you know, soon. But that's actually going to be kind of like more of a YouTube content aspect, but, like, you can still do it. So, but yeah, so think about that. Why am I saying this? It's like, because, like, you have to think about content in a different way. You have to think about what you're, like, how you're presenting your opportunity in a different way. You have to think about these things in different, like, perspectives and different highlights, because you only have so much time to get people's attention and then keep them engaged and stuff like that. So, I'm a comic book nerd at heart. So I'm gonna lean into that aspect and, like, what I've learned. I'm a movie buff, so I'll lean into that aspect and whatnot. For you, this will be, like, different. Like, if you're a sports fan, model what the sports teams do in terms of, like, how they actually, you know, get ready for, like, the Super Bowl. Like, what do they got to do to get to the Super Bowl? They got to beat a lot of other teams in, like, certain matches and stuff. Well, what do they do from then? Well, they got to get to, like, you know, the semi-quarterfinals or anything like that. Like, whatever it may, may be. Well, I don't like sports. I don't like comics. I don't like TV. Well, how about authors? How about books? How many times have you seen, like, book versions come out of the same book? I've seen Stephen King's books get reprinted 4 times in almost in the same year. So, think about it like that. Well, I don't like books. All right. How about your favorite recipe? How many different ways can you make your favorite recipe? Think about it. What small tweaks can you do to change it out? You have to start being able to think of this in a different aspect, in a different perspective. So you can actually develop your own strategy, what works specifically for you. I just used, you know, what was, like, you know, close, like, what I knew growing up and stuff. There's some, like, I would say, spend, like, a day figuring out what things interest you in your market, and figure out, like, what current marketing tool strategies are currently being applied. If you can actually extrapolate them and, like, backwards engineer them, you can model the same thing for, like, probably a fraction of the price. So, I know it's kind of more of a rant or whatnot, but, like, that was one of the, this was an episode that, like, I really wanted to get out, like, code a little bit deeper on, as well as start talking a little bit more about strategies and stuff and everything like that, and definitely kind of trying to change it up a little bit. I know, like, being in the car right now, that's changing it up for sure, but I'm going to leave it there. I hope you're all doing well. Hope you're all staying safe, staying healthy, kicking to your goals. If you found any of this, like, helpful whatsoever, definitely share it with somebody that's here. Share it with your upline. Share it with your downline. For the love of God, share it with your team and come up with a strategy in terms of, like, how to campaign, like to build a marketing campaign. I literally just wrote one out for you in this entire episode. And when I said those, like, those dollar figures, like, that was, like, you know, kind of bare minimum, but, like, I spent way more than that. So, use it, model it. I mean, it's still done today, so. But, and if this is your first episode, go back and catch up. Go back to the original, like, first one. Like, catch back up. You got some time. I'm averaging around, like, 30 minutes or so per episode. So, like, this is episode 128, 30 episodes. I don't know how many hours that is. I'm not going to do that math while I'm driving. But hope you're all doing well, and I'll catch you in the next one.